Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of course, is Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. And our insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. And this is great timing to have you on, Ross, because you played NFL. Of course, you played offensive line, I should say, in the NFL. And the story this week in Kansas City is all about what's going on at left tackle. And in particular, Wanya Morris, who got hurt, came back in. The rookie, Kingsley Suamatia, has been rough, to say the least. So what have you seen, if you had a chance to watch that game against Denver at all, from Wanya in particular, who I think Chiefs fans are appreciating more and more based off of the backup that came in?
Yeah, I think that's probably a good way to describe it. I think Wanya is okay. I think Kingsley is not. And that's kind of the difference, right? I mean, Wanya is good enough that the Chiefs can probably get by and keep winning the way they have been. I think Kingsley is very likely to cost them a game at this point and maybe a critical game. I guess, what's the update on Wanya's injury?
I mean, he got back in that game yesterday, but here's the secret behind the way the Chiefs handle media. I won't know how Wanya is until Andy Reid gives an update today in about an hour, Ross. So we'll get an idea of whether or not he's on the practice field probably inside of an hour. If he practices, he'll be okay. The real question is, do they baby it because they don't want to see Kingsley on the field?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, right? Because, I mean, it's rare for a guy to come back in a game and or finish a game and not play the next week. It happens sometimes, you know, where a guy can, like, suck it up and play the rest of the game, and then they do some type of imaging, or after the game, they're like, oh, wow, this is a worse injury than we realized. I can't believe that guy was able to suck it up and play through that. You know, that happens every once in a while. But usually if a guy, A, comes back in a game, B, finishes a game, he's usually able to play in the next game. I do think, you know, obviously this is the biggest game of the NFL regular season so far, and probably will end up being the case because, you know, I think the teams right now in the AFC look better, the Bills and Chiefs, than anybody in the NFC, although the Eagles are kind of coming now. And you know, this game will go a long – like, if the Chiefs win this game, they're going to have the number one seed.
Yep.
I mean, they just are. So there is a lot of importance on it from that perspective to play Wanya to make sure they win the game. But also, you know, they got to make sure – you know, they're in a good situation, actually. It really depends on the injury, but I was going to say they want to let that thing heal if it's something that he needs to give some time to. But – the weird thing is, you know, they might have like multiple weeks at the end of the year, but that's a long way away right now. It's like 2 months away.
I just think they just start doing like mini. If they win this game, give Travis the day off against the Panthers. You know, Wanya can have that day off too. Kingsley can get some work in that day too. Ross,
you know what's so funny that you said that? It's so funny that you said that because before that, like basically NFL load management. Before the season, I have a fantasy podcast. I have a bunch of podcasts, but in particular, the Fantasy Feast podcast, my co-host was not high on Travis Kelce for fantasy football at all because he said that he thought Travis was going to be a smart time player during the regular season. Basically a play on words from part-time player, but he called him a smart-time player, meaning that he really thought the Chiefs would manage Travis's snaps and playing time to make sure he was 100% for January, like he was last year, which is why a big reason why they won the Super Bowl, which he definitely wasn't last year during the regular season. I mean, you guys have to correct me if I'm wrong, but just watching the games, it doesn't seem like that's been the case
at all. Yeah. He's had like 30 catches the last
the ball 20 times.
Yeah, 16 targets a week or so ago. So that definitely hasn't been the case whatsoever, as we're talking with Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL insider. Back to the offensive line just for a second. A lot of the conversation here about Donovan Smith, who played left tackle in Kansas City a year ago. He still hasn't been signed by anybody. He's out on the street. How difficult or problematic would it be if later on in the season or a week from now they bring him in, he's on the practice squad for a couple weeks and at some point would have to play? How easily do you think a Donovan Smith could be ready if a Wanya Morris got hurt and they realize they can't start the rookie?
Pretty easily, pretty quickly, depending on what he's been doing. I mean, the fact that he hasn't retired would make me think that he probably has been staying in shape and waiting for an opportunity like this, but you also don't know. I mean, it's November. There are guys that, you know, Ndamukong Suh got to a point where he did it like 3 years in a row, where he just wouldn't go to training camp. He wouldn't even play the first like half of the year. He would wait to see which teams actually had a chance to do something, and then he would sign with one of them and be fresh for the second half of the year in the playoffs. That might be the case with Donovan. I don't know him that well. Watching him at times in college, even for the Chiefs, he doesn't strike me as the always ready, working out every day kind of guy. I've never gotten that. That said, they could very easily, in fact, I don't know that he would do it. I mean, if he would do this, he probably already would be signed somewhere. But yeah, I think it's probably time pretty soon to call him back, get him on the practice squad, and then have him if he's willing to do that. You know, they might have to give him some decent coin to do that, because if he's willing to be on a practice squad, trust me, there's a ton of teams that would already want him on the practice squad. I mean, he probably doesn't want to play unless someone pays him per week what he thinks he's worth.
Ross, I'd like to talk other things in the NFL with you as well. It's just announced that the Colts are going to go back to Anthony Richardson as their starting quarterback after the Joe Flacco stuff went so poorly. Sometimes it's like victim of like recency bias. So I guess I'll take your opinion. You get to catch a lot of different games in the NFL. I feel like the last 18 months in the NFL is a how-to book for dummies on how to not handle young quarterbacks. Is that what feels like is happening in the league between Caleb Williams and like the setup they've got going on there and not getting rid of Eberflus before, or Anthony Richardson now, or anyone else in between? It feels like there's been a lot of mishandling of young quarterbacks.
Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit, okay? Let's start with Caleb Williams. What's your issue with what the Bears have done there?
For the third straight time, they have drafted a young quarterback, Trubisky, Justin Fields, and that kept the old coach who stunk, let him start, and then fired, and then made the young quarterback start with a fresh guy. By the time this season's done, Eberflus won't be his coach, and he'll be under completely different offensive management. They did the talent thing around him, which I like. Hey, put a bunch of people around him. I hate the idea that they stuck with Eberflus.
Got it. So first of all, Eberflus.
Eberflus.
just so we know. That's okay. You don't work Chicago radio. You work in Kansas City radio. That's fine. I guess I can see that. What I would tell you is last year he took over as the DC, and for the second half of the year, the defense was very, very good.
Yeah.
And actually, they've been very good this year with him calling the defense. So I can see why the Bears did not want to move on from Eberflus. They won a bunch of games at the end of last year. The defense played so well. I think they wanted Caleb Williams to go to a team with a good defense. He absolutely has. They didn't want to lose that part of it. But they said, you got to get a new OC. So he did. He got Waldron, who 2 years ago everybody was giving all of the credit to for Geno Smith having that incredible year, right? So nobody, when he hired Waldron, or not many people, like, panned it. They understood it because of what he had done with Geno. Your point's well taken. I guess I just think sometimes the players have to take some accountability, right? Like,
sure.
Trubisky has had other opportunities now. Fields has had other opportunities now with other organizations, and they've shown that they're just not that good. And maybe that's the case with Caleb Williams. Maybe not. We'll see. In terms of the Anthony Richardson thing, you know, they were 4-3, and they had just lost a very, very winnable game that he came out of, which none of us have ever heard of in our entire lives. A quarterback tapping out of a game like
that. Was
that.
Weird.
We've never heard of that. Late third quarter, very winnable game, and he lost a lot of respect from the guys in the locker room for doing that. He was also putting up some of the most hilarious stat lines we've ever seen and playing atrocious. And so I think Shane Steichen thought, how am I going to, like, go into this locker room and tell the guys that this kid's starting again, I'm not giving them the best chance to win? He didn't think he was. And so he wanted to go with Flacco. Where I think he's making a mistake is I think he's – I would have stuck with Flacco for one more week. It wouldn't have just been a two-week thing for me with Flacco, because they went against the Vikings on the road, very good defense, and the Bills. And he did some really good things against the Bills. He also had a couple turnovers. I would have given Flacco this. The Colts were still very much in the playoff race.
Mm-hmm.
I would have given Flacco one more game against the Jets this Sunday.
Last one for you, Ross. What about Pittsburgh? Because it feels different than a couple years ago when they had that, what was it, like a 10-0, 11-0 start, and nobody believed in them. And they're like, okay, they're not real. And then everybody was kind of proven correct. This go around, I don't know if I believe they can go to a Super Bowl, but I certainly don't think they're, you know, this fake phony team. Their schedule just gets way tougher here down the stretch.
Way, way tougher, which is going to be a problem. And it's so funny because, you know, I was on with the guys in Buffalo. I go on with you guys 10:30 Central every Wednesday. I go on with the guys in Buffalo 5 o'clock Eastern every Tuesday. They asked me about the Steelers, too. I don't know if you guys are comparing notes, but this is like...
We're all just curious if we should take them serious.
No, that's fair. And what I would say is I would take them serious in any one-game scenario.
There you go, yeah.
I would not take them serious to go to the Super Bowl and or win it. And the reason why I say that is because they're going to have to win 3 playoff games, at least, just to get to the Super Bowl. And in at least 2 of those, maybe even all 3, they're going to have to defeat an MVP-level quarterback, right? Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. Russell Wilson's done some positive things. Russell Wilson has helped that team. Russell Wilson's playing pretty well. He's not nearly on the level of those other 3 guys. That's really the problem for any of the other teams in the AFC. Now, I think the Chargers, they feel like Herbert's kind of getting there. We know Burrow can play at that level. The reality is, I don't see a team going to the Super Bowl from really either conference, but especially the AFC, without having a quarterback playing an MVP-like level, because you have to win 3 games unless you get the number 1 seed. And even if you just have to win 2 games, then you're still playing against Lamar, Josh Allen, or Mahomes in those 2 games. And do I think you're going to win those games late against them? No, maybe 1, but not 2 or 3 or 4.
Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. Appreciate it, man. Where are you at this weekend? You got a college game?
Oh, no. I got an awesome weekend. Tomorrow night, I'm in the radio booth for Westwood One with Ian Eagle for Commanders Eagles.
That's nice. A great game.
The Westwood broadcast or not. But that Commanders Eagles game is going to be huge. And then I'll fly right to Miami first thing Friday morning. I got the Raiders at the Dolphins for CBS on Sunday, which I'm looking forward to. The Dolphins actually look pretty darn good Monday night. So I'm curious. I think I saw somewhere where they have a 25% chance to make the playoffs. I have no idea what the math is on that, but I'm looking forward to see if they can kind of go on a run here.
Not bad at all. You get to stay in your backyard for football tomorrow night, and then you get to go down to South Beach. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.